Welcome back, everybody. And welcome if you're just joining us on this steamy Monday afternoon here in the state of Wisconsin and for our listeners beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. On Mondays, I'm joined by a fine guest co-host. His name is Matt Rothschild. You can find his solo work on the podcast Wisconsin Forward, of course, our state's motto. You can find that at civicmedia.us and wherever you listen to podcasts. Matt and I are joined this half hour by Mideast expert Elon Berman of the American Foreign Policy Council. You can check out all of his work at their website, afpc.org. That's afpc.org. Elon, right before the break, I queued up the fact that there has been some difference between American and Israeli intelligence as it relates specifically to how soon could Iran have a nuclear bomb ready to deploy. And so I wanted to ask you, the imminence of the threat, if you start to talk to lawyers who study the, quote, law of war, which is actually a complex set of both international treaties and our own constitutional limitations, and we'll talk hopefully a wee bit about that. But what do you make of that's a pretty significant difference, 15 days or maybe up to a year before they could have a usable nuclear bomb. What do you say about the differences there?
So this is a crucial point, but I think the sort of the broader frame needs to be understood. There are differences about the timeline, but there's not a difference about the direction, right? Both Israel and the United States, both the intelligence communities of both countries are pretty much in lockstep that the Iranians are developing this. And in the context where you have these differences in terms of intelligence estimates, estimates of imminence, right? The country that's the most skittish is the one that drives the pace, right? The Israeli intelligence that the threat was more imminent is what propelled them to move. Now, again, it's going to take years, if at all, for us to see even the majority of the intelligence that the president right. has seen in terms of informing his decision-making. But I'm pretty comfortable having sort of studied this for, you know, a quarter of a century. I'm pretty comfortable with the general directionality, right? We can quibble over whether it was 2 weeks or 2 months or whatever it is, but the directionality was clear. And the parallel processes that I think are very germane here is it's not just Iran's development of enrichment of uranium. It's not just Iran's development of a nuclear device, right? Because a lot goes into that, right? There's uranium enrichment, there's weaponization, and there's also delivery systems. Correct. So the fact that Iran was ramping up its production of ballistic missiles is also, right? It's not a tangential subject. It's also very important. So my sense is, again, right, like you, Maggie, Matt, I don't know about you, but I'm a recovering lawyer, right? As Maggie is, as you are. I teach international law. So I'm very steeped in this sort of this idea of preemption and prevention and, the ambiguities that result, right? Under international law, if you stick to the letter of the UN Charter and sort of the letter of international law, it's restrictive in nature, right? But frankly, so restrictive that it doesn't really meet real world conditions, because most countries do not interpret the right of self-defense as waiting until they're struck and then striking back, but stopping to strike back, you know, ceasing their retaliation as soon as the UN steps in. That seems like a recipe for, you know, predation by sort of more belligerent states, right? There's a much more
and yet it's the UN Charter, right? And the concepts of proportionality, these sorts of things, eminence, scope, absolutely. Scope of impact. What are the nature, scope, duration, right? In terms of right. our own constitutional framework, can you speak to that a bit? Again, we've got Representative Massey now under massive attack from right. the MAGA side of the political sure. spectrum. He's saying, "Listen, we have an Article I crisis. Congress didn't even get notice that this was happening. What say you to even the baseline point that there was an obligation of this administration to at least notify members of the intelligence committees of both chambers?"
So this is where sort of political practice and standards intersect with imminence and with the reality of politics, right? Because let's be clear, Had Congress been notified, the news of this would have leaked, right? This is sort of the system that we're
well. Then why tell Congress anything, right? They use skips.
No. Look, Congress has the ability and the constitutional duty to, if this becomes a protracted conflict, right? Congress holds the power of the purse. They have the right to bless it with the power of the purse, right? However, if you go back and you look at, say, the Obama administration, right, I can count on the fingers of one hand, right, the number of times, right, there was Pakistan, there was, the strike against bin Laden, all that stuff. All that stuff included episodes that did not involve prior notification for Congress, because sometimes surprise is necessary. So to me, it's not this one moment where Congress was not notified beforehand. It's how we proceed from here, what the balance is between the legislative and executive branches.
Fair enough. And Biden bombed the Houthis. So did Donald Trump. They did so without congressional authorization. My question is more basic than that. And that is, given all that has occurred in the post 9/11 environment, which is clearly an expansion of presidential war-making powers, however so defined, whether by the UN Charter or the United States Constitution, which doesn't have a clear definition here, and again, looking at how this Congress has wielded the power of the purse, what checks remain if these sorts of attacks can be leveled against nation states as opposed to non-state actors? Elon, we got to go, but will you come back and we'll have a legal eagle beagle afternoon discussing that.
I would love it, although I try to stay away from law as much as possible. But for you, yes, absolutely.
Many thanks, my friend. Now, Matt's got some opinions. So do I, and I bet each and every one of you do. We'll convene the discussion about the Iran conflict when we return, not just after these messages, but at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Get your thoughts going. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.